Thank you for downloading this episode of the Culture Chat podcast by WorkXO, where we explore the intersection of workplace culture, progressive leadership, and the future of work. Follow us on Twitter at WorkXO and on LinkedIn and Facebook at The Workplace Genome, our cloud-based culture management platform. To learn more, visit workxo.com.
Good afternoon or good morning or good day, everybody out there in the podcast sphere. This is Charlie Judy, founder and CEO of WorkXO, a culture management organization with a culture management platform. Thanks for joining us for another edition of our Culture Chat podcast. We are on the eve of the eve of the eve, I think, of Christmas. And the holiday season is upon us. You're probably going to be listening to this in 2018, so this will give you a little reflection back to the past. I'm glad you're here listening today, and I'm really excited about the guest that we have with us. Sonia Lucina is a really, really cool futurist focused on the future of work and working with an awesome organization, Globin, which I will ask her to tell us a little bit more about in just a second. She has dabbled in analytics and talent intelligence and product strategy, and has found ways to use technology to humanize the workplace. And obviously that's something that we're really excited about here at WorkXO and are trying to do the same. And so we're hoping that she'll shed a little bit of that light on us today. But the other thing that we're going to ask her to talk a little bit about is just kind of this challenge and opportunity, frankly, for organizations to kind of keep their values alive. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But why don't we start, Sonia, with you just going ahead and telling the audience a little bit more about who you are and kind of what you're up to, and then we'll ask the one big question as we always do and go from there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Charlie, for the introduction, and thank you so much for inviting me to this podcast. So my background, my PhD is in organizational psychology, and many moons ago, I decided to pursue this degree because I thought, you know, I looked around, I looked at my parents, I looked at all of these amazing people going to work every day, and how important happiness at work and your satisfaction with a job and the atmosphere there and what the organization said were, how important all that was, not only during the hours that people were at work, but how much it impacted the rest of their lives. And I just thought, wow, there's such an amazing opportunity to have an impact on organizational culture, to have an impact on people at work with this big vision and this big goal of how do we make people really love their jobs? How do we help them love their organizations? And so that was my big wish, dream going into this field of work. And so recently I joined Globin because I had an opportunity to speak with their founders, and I found that they had so much passion and so much desire to really create an atmosphere and a culture where their employees loved coming to work every day. And being a technology organization, they really were empowered to be able to leverage technology to pull employees in, to make them a part of this organization in a very different way than I've seen before. And so I thought, wow, you know, this company is really doing something right. And not only are they doing it for their own employees, but because they've had such great success using a culture software and using a recognition platform, they started to work with their clients on it as well to be able to say, well, if this worked for us, if this kind of vision really helped us be as successful as we are, why wouldn't we share that? Why wouldn't we spread those best practices, spread that knowledge to see really, in a way, can we together change the world? And so it's been something that's been a really exciting adventure, and I think a really incredible goal to work towards.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, anytime you can say that you work for, you know, a department or an organization within an organization called Future of Organizations, like that's That's really cool. Like you had me at future. So, Globin, and I, sorry for not introducing you with your PhD. Should we be calling you doctor or is that? Okay.
Please no.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So Globin is not no small organization, 7,000 employees or so. I'm publicly traded, right? On the New York Stock Exchange. And headquartered in Buenos Aires. So, really excited to have you here. So let's just jump in, because I think there's a lot of great stuff to talk about here. And I'll just tee it up and then let's see where this goes. So how do organizations that are crystal clear, like already pretty darn convinced about what their values are, and more importantly, what they value? And we know that those two things can be different, right?
Yeah.
Once you've kind of gotten crystal clear on what those things are, how do you make sure that, or how do organizations make sure that that you bring them to life, that you can give them the context and the color and the identity that they can live and breathe, that people can affiliate with them, and that we can celebrate them? Like that's a,
yeah.
That sounds like a lot, like, but it seems like if you do it well, it's got big impact. So tell us a little bit more about your experience with all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to. So, one of the things that I get excited about is when I talk to just about every company out there, everybody cares about culture, which is great. And most of them have done something around recognition, around making sure their employees feel thanked, around making sure that they have defined their values. And some organizations are going through that exercise now. Some have had values for many, many years, but very few, if any, would say this is not something that's important to me. But what's interesting is that when you ask them, well, how is it going? How does that work for you today? How do you get employees involved? How do you make sure that you're bringing those values to life? That's where answers start to get a lot different. And you see a lot of even large companies still doing it a very traditional way, oftentimes top down, to say, well, management, we have this nomination process, and we write different essays and we vote, and there are many different ways that organizations mm-hmm. are doing it today. But one of the things that we've seen work really well, so the speed of change, and that's why I think I love that you love future in the title of our group, because it's all looking ahead. It's all saying, hey, things are moving so quickly. How do we not only keep up with it, but how do we stay ahead? And so with so many changes going on, with so many transformations, one of the things that we've seen in organizations today is that a lot of us work with many different people. You work with different departments. You have groups that form for a project, or you might collaborate even in smaller companies with one person on one project, and then somebody else or a different group or another one in a different month. And so you're exposed to a lot of different people over time. Mm. And, especially if your manager is following some of the best practices in leadership, they're not micromanaging you, and there might not always be hands-on, which is good. Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen is that a great way to really bring values to life, or what is valued in an organization to life, like you said, is to really give the ability and to empower all the different employees that when they see somebody that's done something really, really well, that is valued by the organization, to be able to recognize them in a public forum in the moment that something like that happens. So you don't have to wait for a manager, you don't have to wait for a leader, because thank you feels really, really good when it comes from somebody that you worked with. It doesn't have to be just somebody with a specific title.
But it's really more, the thank you is like icing on the cake. That's awesome. But what's also coming with it is a real life, example of how this value was valued, right? And used. I hope I don't hit that relationship too much in the course of this conversation, but it's huge. Like the difference between what we value or we say we value, and then what's truly valued, that can be big in organizations. But if you can show people, so I love that. Talk more about how you show it. Like, how do you describe it? What do you share? What format does it take? So on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we've done in, you know, bringing this technology to life is we wanted to, one, make sure that it's very clear for everybody in the organization what those values are. So what are we trying, what are we striving towards? A lot of our clients that we talk with, they'll say, no, define these words, but does it mean the same thing to every employee? I'm not really sure. If I'm saying I want honesty out of someone,
right,
somebody internalizing it differently. And so one of the things that we found that's very important, and so let's say, you know, you and I, Charlie, are in the same team, and, you know, one of Globin's values is thinking big, and I could recognize you in thinking big, but you might think back, but what did I do? You know, I work with Sonia all the time. What was it exactly that she really appreciated in me? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we made sure to make as a part of that recognition is for the employee to share with other person, well, what was it about that value that really stood out in that person? One, for the organization, it makes it a lot more easy to understand how employees are internalizing what the values are, but then at the same time for the person being recognized, it makes it so much more significant too, because out of our relationship, out of all of our interactions, now all of a sudden I really know what it was that I did give you really appreciated, and it makes that action that much more meaningful. But something else too that I think is really powerful is that because you have the ability to use technology, it's transparent to everybody in the organization.
Sure.
So I can sit down and, you know, write you a text or write you an email, which is still really nice, but then it stays between us. This way it becomes like a quick, amazing public celebration. And then we've also borrowed on some of the, you know, best practices from social media, where you can like somebody's comment. You can also add your own comment. And so all of a sudden there are a lot more eyes. But not only is that celebration then even more meaningful, it also sets this tremendous example for the rest of the employees, because you start to be able to see, wow, you know, I haven't worked with Charlie maybe much, but it seems like a lot of the other people are, and they're really appreciating, huh, maybe I should reach out to him. Mm. Also something else that's been really, really significant is that a lot of companies we talk with are going through some kind of transformation, right? Again, we're always looking into the future. The world is changing. It keeps changing faster and faster, right? When you think like it can't go any quicker, it somehow does. And so what's also been really great with this type of platform is that it helps grab employees and move them towards that change a lot more effectively, because they start to see how much everybody around them, what they're doing, how they're engaging in the new initiatives, they're being recognized for the work they're doing. And again, it creates this community and this almost like snowball effect of people saying, well, wow, I had no idea. I want to be a part of that too. Like, I knew that this change was going on and knew we were doing these different things, but I didn't realize it was already a movement. I want in.
Yeah. I love that idea of this, you know, I want in. I mean, I think you use the word transparency, and I maybe want to turn it around, because you've used another word with me before, and that's kind of invisible. And there's such missed opportunity, and maybe even damage in organizations that keep stuff invisible. And this, it's amazing to think about how, if you just put something out on the table, how much of it takes care of itself, right? I mean, nobody's guessing anymore. you get constant reminders, you get constant reinforcement, you get constant clarity. I just don't understand why that's harder for organizations, or so hard still for organizations to do. Do you have any thoughts on why it is? Is it fear? Is it just they don't know where to start? Like, what's your idea?
You know, I think a lot of times when it comes to culture, when it comes to recognition, I think there were just not as many ways available out there to be able to measure it, to be able to capture those invisible moments. And I think sometimes too, the nice thing with recognition, right, is that it's inherently positive. And so when you bring that up to an organization, when you say, hey, you know, what are your values? Well, I want to innovate. I want to think big. I want excellence. I want all of these different things. Well, how do you know if you're doing well? How do you know if that's coming to life? And people say, well, I don't, but I think I would like to, because I would like to know what I need to encourage more of. And so one of the very positive things that I've seen in recognition is that because it is inherently positive, people start to become more open to it. And so you don't have to do as much convincing in a way to make that information more transparent or more visible. But now one of the things that we've seen when we start to peel things back is a lot of times, CEOs or leaders will say, the values are very important to us. And it's not just writing on the wall. It's really not. We want to live by it. And we don't know where we're doing well. And we don't know what our opportunities are. And we'd love to. So that's kind of the first step. And then all of a sudden, what starts to happen is, again, before, I don't have to have a technology to say thank you to you. Yeah. I might do it or I might not, or always joke around about all those emails that I wish I would have written to my former colleagues to say thank you. And I always had these ideas where I want to, you know, write them a really nice note and copy their boss and make a big deal out of it. And I never did it.
Never did it.
Because I didn't have time.
I have a thank you note, like a handwritten thank you note that I wrote to somebody that I had a call with a week ago. Or not a week ago, like 3 weeks ago. And it's like still sitting on my desk. Like, why can't I put a freaking stamp on it and put it in the mail?
I know. And unfortunately, you're a good guy and you want to. And probably if I talk to you in 2 weeks, there is a chance of that.
It'll still be there. In fact, it's no longer even relevant. Like if it landed on a server, we're going down a diversion here. But if it lands on this guy's desk, he's going to be like, well, thanks. But that was like a month ago.
Exactly. But the thing that you mentioned the invisible, because I am very passionate about that. And so the idea is you're so grateful to this guy that you actually took the time to write a handwritten note, which is not that common. But the reality is it might never make it to him, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this gratitude, you have this connection, but nobody can see it or touch it or feel it because it didn't get pulled through because it took time, it took energy, and we don't have that. And, we don't have time to do all the things that we want to. And so one of the things that I get really excited about when it comes to technology is in a way it might sound weird, but it helps us be more human.
Yeah.
It helps us do those things that we want to do that we just can't get to. And so in this way, that connection, if you could have just written him a note, real quick, and it had the same impact, right? So it was a handwriting because you want a different impact. One of the ways that we humanize that in the technology is to make others be able to see it, right? So it's that celebration, it's that connection between the two. And so we've started to see is when you empower people to eliminate some of those human limitations and allow them to be more human in a sense, is you all of a sudden start to see all of those connections that existed before, but you had no way of knowing that they're there.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly powerful because it gives you, for everybody that's so passionate about building an incredible culture, it starts to give you so much more visibility into where you stand and so much more visibility in where you can do even better, right? Because we're all humans. Organizations are these, human ecosystems. And so it's not that we're hoping that we're going to get data to be perfect. We know none of us are, but we're going to have so much more clarity for how can we make a greater impact faster.
Yeah. So the something that's really popping out for me here is kind of the power of just awareness, we see it all the time in the work that we do in helping organizations measure their culture and start to understand really what their culture is. A lot of times that's organizations that are further behind the curve than you guys are, in that they have a sense maybe for what's important and valued, but they're not crystal clear on it yet. And so they'll use our platform to get better data on that. But that it's amazing the reactions, once you put that data in front of somebody and then they can start to go, oh yeah, now that makes sense. And it doesn't have to be like this over-engineered process. It's just let it flow. Because once I start to see it, then I'm going to do my own calculations in my head. I'm going to draw my own conclusions. I'm going to connect my own dots. And I'm likely going to take my own action if, in fact, I'm empowered to do so. So, and you mentioned that, and I'd like you to just say a few words around this empowerment piece. Because I hypothesize that's where many organizations fall down and or struggle. And let me just share a quick story with you. Years ago, when I was a chief HR officer with an organization, we were exploring using a communications platform, not dissimilar to what you're describing. One of the first, in fact, out there, highly popular. I thought it was awesome, but we could not, certain leaders in the organization could not get past the idea that they would have no control over what people were saying. And I kept pounding my head on the table. Guys, that's the whole point. Like, that's the beauty of it, because you are empowering people to have a conversation that they feel is important. So talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because it comes up a lot. There is that fear of, yes, you know, in a way we do want to make the invisible visible, but only if it's good.
Only if it's good. Right.
What happens if it's bad? And so I think one of the things with recognition platforms that makes it a little easier is that it is a recognition, right? It's not, this specific platform is not a performance improvement one. It's not somewhere where inherently you have an opportunity to share constructive information. That's, you know, we have one, it's kept separate, it's private, but in this sense, so that's the, you know, the first stepping stone is to say, well, people are saying thank you. The second thing is that it is transparent, right? And so if you, as an employee, are going in and you're sharing information, you're going to know that everybody in the organization is going to see it. And so that's automatically this filter of maybe I, you know, shouldn't use bad words or swear words. Or
right. I mean, you've hired these people, right, to be trusted and to work on your products and to serve your clients. So
exactly. And so I think after a little bit of a conversation, people usually come around to that, because there's some concern and transparency. But honestly, I mean, when you think about the world and the way it functions today, it's, if somebody is a disgruntled employer, they have something to say, they have a million social media mediums where they can do it. You know, they can go on Glassdoor, they can go on Facebook, they can go on Twitter. It's not, you don't have to, you can't control those tools, right? So if somebody wants to say something, they can do it. Here it's channeled in a different kind of way. And I think in a way too, it helps change the conversation a little bit and foster the positive environment, because a lot of us have bad days at work, right? Like, we love our job and then we're like, oh man, it's like today I'm just having a really hard day. And a lot of times being able to see, again, this inherently positive information helps change that mindset a little bit. So one of the things I think, you know, we've been lucky to see that even though originally there's that question, because you mentioned transparency and empowerment, it's like, are we ready?
This
is probably one of the safest ways to be ready, right? Like, to become a part of that conversation, because it's, you know, a lot of times I'll say too, like, those things, again, sometimes are happening whether you know or you don't know. And so to be able to give people a microphone to say really good things are a really great way to influence that conversation, right? You're not manipulating it. You're not controlling it, because again, this has to come from the heart of the employee. Yeah. But a lot of times when we might be thinking like, you know, it's a tough week or a tough day, to be able to see that there's so much positive still happening really helps.
I think it's so, I mean, there are a lot of people, you know, who come to the table with recognition platform. There are a lot of options out there. Obviously they all do something a little bit different. I just really want people who have listened to this podcast to think long and hard about how they're doing it. And think of this like continuum, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you have controlled and contrived. And on the other end of the spectrum, you kind of have this open and authentic. And where do you fall? Like, really, honestly, where does your organization fall? And get introspective on it, because I'm asking the audience on this. Like, so ask yourselves this question. You may be surprised if you really start to analyze it a little bit. Like, even those things that feel open to you are probably not really open. You know, there's still someone setting the agenda. There's still somebody acting as the MC. There's a limited amount of time to share. You know, I mean, it's just that's not going to produce the same kinds of results, right? You thinking the same thing?
Absolutely. There are many different ways to get to it. And it's so important for not to be a checkbox right now. Like, hey, do we have something for recognition? Yep, done. It's really taking a step back. And like you said, like saying, how are you doing it? Right? Like we all have many lists of things to do, but I've learned over the years that when it becomes like, yes, we're doing it, for whether it's recognition or anything else, we don't really think about how.
Yeah.
And where you are on that spectrum, it can just have a tremendously different impact.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, how you do it. And that's really kind of where we started this. Like, how does it live and breathe? You've got to give it an identity, whether we're talking about recognition or performance management. You know, I mean, we could have had the same conversation about performance management. A technology can really help with your performance management, but it doesn't replace it, right? I mean, you still need to do some other things to make sure that it's reinforced and clarified and shows up everywhere all the time, that it's part of your DNA, part of your cultural DNA, which is the way we like to talk about it. I know you talk about it that way as well, Sonia. So,
yeah.
So this is great. We're up on we're right around 25 minutes. That's kind of where we keep it at. I'd love to continue the conversation. I know we'll have you back one day. Please, everybody out there, check out Globant and what they're doing, particularly in the future of organizations, what they call Studio. And Sonia, how can people find you and or connect with you and learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter under Sonia Lucina. You can find me on LinkedIn under the same. Please do connect. I'd love to hear questions. I'd love to hear what more and more organizations are doing. It's something that I'm incredibly passionate about. So please do reach out. Would love to hear what's going on in your organization and if there's any way we can brainstorm and help.
Awesome. Thanks for that offer. I'm sure there'll be many who take you up on it. And thank you for spending time with us today and on our Culture Chat blog. Signing off this time. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, have a good one, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much, Charlie. It was a pleasure.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Culture Chat podcast by WorkXO. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at WorkXO and on LinkedIn and Facebook at The Workplace Genome, our cloud-based culture management platform. To learn more, visit WorkXO.com.